Chapter 12. Action. It was getting dark when we went to the woods and settled down in our hiding places. It was a beautiful night, and the half-light was very romantic. I almost wished we could forget about Grim Jim. Jane and I sat close together, whispering to each other and enjoying Freddy's snacks. We'd been there about an hour when Grim Jim arrived and moored his boat by the riverbank. He didn't leave the boat immediately. He took out some food and started to eat. Then he rested for a while. We waited impatiently, and eventually he left the boat and started to walk towards the woods, carrying a large backpack, which looked empty.
"Time to move," whispered Jane.
We started to walk in the direction that Grim Jim had gone when suddenly I remembered my idea.
"Just a minute," I said. "Wait here. You'll be quite safe."
I ran back very quickly to the river, took one of Grim Jim's oars from his boat, and hid it in the bushes. When I came back, there wasn't time to tell Jane what I'd done. We moved quickly and quietly through the woods. Everything went according to plan. Guy and Sally were nearest to Grim Jim when he reached the other side of the woods. They waited to see which direction he was taking and then signalled us with a torch. Freddy and Kate soon joined us. We followed Grim Jim to a wide street with large houses on either side. We kept at a safe distance, hiding behind parked cars and trees, so he didn't see us. He came to a house surrounded by a high wall, looked in both directions to make sure that nobody was watching, and climbed expertly over the wall. I was the first one to reach the wall. I climbed a tree and looked over it. I could see a shadowy shape beside the house, doing something to a window. A moment later, it disappeared. Grim Jim was inside the house.
"He's inside. Call the police," I said to Guy as I climbed down the tree.
But then, things started to go wrong. Guy and Sally ran to the nearest phone box to call the police and were horrified to discover that the phone wasn't working. We'd checked the location of the phone boxes, but never thought to check if they worked or not. As Freddy said later, "That never happens in detective films." When they got to the next phone box and called the police, the sergeant who answered the call took the details and said that they'd come as soon as possible. But the police must have been busy that night, because it took them a long time to arrive. We watched helplessly from a distance as Grim Jim appeared on the top of the wall, dropped his backpack carefully to the ground, and jumped down after it. He started to walk towards the woods. The backpack must have been heavy because he moved quite slowly. There was nothing we could do to stop him.
"He's going to escape with the stuff," said Sally in desperation. "What can we do?"
"Don't be so sure," I said. "Guy, you stay here and show the police where the boat is. The rest of you, come with me."
"I hope you're not getting any crazy ideas," warned Guy.
"Don't worry, I promise. No fights," I said.
Grim Jim was only a few yards from the boat when we saw him again. We watched as he lifted his heavy bag into the boat and climbed in after it. He put his hands out to take the oars, swore very loudly, and looked around frantically. The second oar had disappeared, and he couldn't row the boat with only one oar.
"Now I know why you left me alone for a few minutes," said Jane. "You ran back and hid his oar, didn't you?"
I smiled triumphantly.
"That was really clever of you," said Jane, and explained to the others what I'd done.
A moment later, Guy and the police arrived.
The police took Grim Jim away and told us to come to the police station in the morning. The police never asked about the ore, but they probably guessed. They told us never to try and follow a criminal again and gave us a very severe warning. Next time we saw or heard anything suspicious, we should tell the police immediately. They spoke firmly, but they didn't sound angry. They also told us what happened after they arrested Grim Jim. Hoping to get a lighter sentence, Grim Jim told them where he was supposed to meet his accomplice. At 6 a.m., when the accomplice appeared, the police were waiting for him. Mr. and Mrs. Jackson, the owners of the burgled house, wanted to give us a reward. They owned a large, luxurious motorboat and invited us to spend a day with them. "Leave your boats tied up at Marlow," they said. "We'll spend the day on our boat, sail to Oxford, and take you to a hotel for a meal." It sounded great, and we had a wonderful, luxurious day on the Jackson's boat. But when we discussed it later, we all said the same thing. Sailing down the river in our little rowing boats was much more fun. In the final few days of our boat trip, we spent a lot of time with the girls. We exchanged phone numbers before we said goodbye to them at Kingston and promised to meet them again on the river the following summer. But we all had the feeling that we'd see each other again before then. After they left, I turned to Guy and Freddie and said, "We wanted our holiday to be special, but it was better than I ever expected. It was the best holiday that I've ever had." "Yes, it's been fantastic," Freddie and Guy both agreed, and Caesar wagged his tail. "I guess we make a pretty good team. Three men and a dog in a boat."